Thank you for coming this morning. My name is Andy Beeftink. I'm an elder in this church. Thank you, musicians, for the nice singing and playing. And let's start this year, dear congregation, dear friends, with a sign again. Because at Christmas we looked down to the manger and the baby clothes as a sign of Jesus' humiliation on behalf of us. But today we look upwards to another sign. You know, we are going to do that because we need to take courage and we need some positive energy to face this year under God's guidance. And the theme for today is a fiery cloud to guide and to guard. A fiery cloud to guide and guard. And, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, there will be signs in heaven. God wants to teach us something with a sign. He wants to show with the heavenly signs that he is all powerful and that he holds everything in his hand. And that God and that Christ leads everything to its final destination. At Christmas, we saw angels in the sky. And when Jesus comes back, there will be angels in the sky again, but also other signs. The moon will turn into blood and the sun will turn gray like a jute bag. Signs that God introduces the birth of the eternal kingdom. Now, over time, and I did some searching on the internet, and it turned out that over time, people have seen many signs in the sky. People have seen a strange phenomenon in all ages. And there's a lot documented about that. You see, I don't really mean signs like lightning or tornadoes or comets or so. Things that can be explained naturally. But I want to quote one report that I found on the internet as recent as 1980. A Spanish man whose house was completely burned down, he told reporters about a strange formation of a fiery pillar in the sky. He said, "I heard a strange noise out on the street, and suddenly I was in a black cloud, and I felt bad, and I fell to the ground, and my cap tore off my head with a gust of wind. And a cloud of dust gathered in a black column. Oddly enough, it tilted toward a strong wind that was blowing at the time. Very strange phenomenon. And then suddenly this column-shaped cloud, it ignited. It turned into fire. And after just a few minutes, all that was left from my house was only the foundation, and the furniture was completely burnt. The olive trees around the hut were charred. So no flashlight here. But what he described as a cloudy column that ignited. It was presented as a real event. This man was convinced that this really happened. And we find something seemingly similar here in Exodus 13. Now, we are entering a new period. We are at the beginning of a new year. And you know, when Israel left Egypt and headed to the promised land, we read in verse 17 that the Lord took them not by the way of the Philistines, although that was near. But instead, God led the people through the wilderness. There was a relatively short way to the promised land. We would have chosen that way, I think, and Israel as well. But that was not God's choice. You see, he decided beforehand that Israel would travel through the wilderness, so that they would go to Horeb to hear about God's institutions there. They would have to travel there with all the wants and all the needs that they would have to face, with little food and little water. That way, namely, they would deeply feel that for guidance and strength and for food and water, they were dependent on God and not on themselves. It was God's decision. They could not follow an established pathway as would be normal, so that didn't seem to become a very easy task. No, I think there were, assumingly, there were no maps of this region, so they, of course, would have to find out themselves how to get to the promised land, asking Moses or some nomadic tribes here and there what route to follow. Or not. No, they would not have to ask nomadic tribes, because God himself would be their guide in the desert in that period to come. And you know, God sent, what did he do? God sent a fiery pillar. If we go to the next slide, that's something like what I just told about the experience of this man. And I don't know we don't know what it looked like, this fiery, cloudy pillar. If we go to the next slide, we have another phenomenon. Sometimes we see very, very beautiful things in the sky. This has not much to do with fire, although the beams of the setting sun, they light up this cloud. And do you see that it looks like a hand, like a fist, coming down from heaven? It's very beautiful. And if we go to the next slide, there we have a very old painting. It's not very sharp. So this is how one of the painters in the 18th century imagined how it would have looked like. God led his people by a fiery, cloudy pillar. Now, you see, if we study on this a little bit, we discover that the Bible talks about this pillar, about this fiery column, for about 15 times. 15 times in different Bible books. And, you know, God gave several names to this pillar, but it's mentioned several times. And as a result, we get a quite clear idea of what it must have been. It was a tall column reaching from earth upwards towards heaven. And it looked like smoke, it looked like a cloud, and according to some, there were not actually two pillars, one pillar of cloud to guide the people by day, and one of fire guiding people by night, but it must have been the one and the same pillar. Because we should imagine this, during daytime, this fiery cloud looked like a cloud rather than a fiery column because the bright sun would make the flames of that cloud less well visible. Then it looked like a cloud rather than like a flame. But by night, when it was dark, this same phenomenon showed itself as a pillar of fire when the clouds would be less well visible. Exodus 14, verse 20 says that the one pillar was a cloud and a darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave the Israelites light by night to see. Now, when you compare the passages that describe this pillar of cloud and fire, would by times also form a kind of blanket, a kind of umbrella over the people's heads that protected the people. So it could somehow change the shape of it and maybe turn from a vertical to a horizontal position. I don't know. But it was used this way. like Psalm 105 says, Psalm 105 verse 39, God spread out a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. Now, the first time this cloud met the people when it appeared was probably immediately after the Passover night, where the firstborn of Egypt were slain and the firstborns of the Israelites were spared. And then we read in Exodus 14 that as the people were leaving Egypt, there was the cloud. And as the Egyptians with their forces, they pursued them, this cloud was there, still, both leading and protecting the people. And then, when the Egyptians came close and almost succeeded in getting the people of God, the cloud above the nation of Israel would start to move, and it would go and it would stand there between them and the Egyptians, turning into a kind of, suddenly, unexpectedly, turning into a kind of firewall. Firewall, we know, huh, how important that is, a firewall to protect our computer against external attacks. So the Israelites had a firewall much earlier than we have it. Huh? So it's so impressive that then the Egyptians would withdraw, and they would be powerless at that point. But when we read that this pillar of cloud went before the people again into the wilderness and through the wilderness until they came to Horeb, then we see that that same pillar situated itself above the mercy seat, above the cherubim, the angels in the tabernacle. And so it moved, and it was there to serve the people. You see, God would abode among his people. And it would be a day-to-day phenomenon, but it would still be an awe-inspiring phenomenon. Just imagine, people would just have to look up while working or while having conversations, looking up to that fiery pillar. And it was rising, and they would see God's magnificence, God's omnipotence, and they would know the Lord is among his people, guiding and guarding. And I think this fiery cloud, this fiery pillar, would not go too fast for the people, for these, let's say, 1.5 million or maybe 2 million people of Israel. Among them, there were also many children, of course. And some days it may have gone for several hours, this cloud ahead of them, but there may also have been days where God only let the people travel for 1 or 2 hours or so, to help them rest in God, trusting him, but also to obey, because when he moved, the people had to move. Now, this pillar was not just an interesting sign that makes the biblical history attractive. No, this pillar was a way in which the Lord manifested himself. You see, he was present with his people. We know that because the text says, the Lord went before them in the cloud by day and in the pillar of fire by night. It was not so that God from high above sent this certain torch to lead the way. No, he himself came very, very close to his people in this pillar. It's not surprising because in different places, the Bible says that God dwells in light unapproachable. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. The Bible also says God is an all-consuming fire. So this fire was there in the cloud. It was a representation of God's splendor. Now, we must know that this pillar provided a few very important things to the Israelites. If we go to the next slide, we will see that firstly, the pillar provided guidance to the people. Imagine that the endless plain of sand that could make humans feel so lost. Now, and when they would feel that, this pillar would be their compass and much more, because a guide who knows the region and every dangerous cliff and cleft, that's really what you want there, they would know that God would guide, and he would never stop guiding them as long as it would be necessary. You see, God was a reliable guide. He had not just gone through that region once before to do some research or so, explore the environment a little bit. No, it was God himself who made it all, who knows every grain of sand, who went ahead of his people. He planned this entire route for his people like no one ever can. Psalm 32 says, "I shall instruct you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye." But secondly, it also provided defense. As we sort of have already seen, God defended Israel from their enemies. The Egyptians wanted to get them back, but the Lord stood in between. It was such a radiant type of light that it would immediately blind the Egyptians' eyes and darken them, because it was such a force which defended Israel from the enemies. Isn't that marvelous to read? It means they didn't have to do anything, just rely on God and let it happen unto them. That's what God also does nowadays when he wants to defend us. But, you know, interesting, this fiery pillar did not exclusively defend the Israelites from the Egyptians, against the Egyptians, because it also defended them in a different way. Let's also imagine this. This desert could have or would have enormous temperature changes. When the sun blazed upon that desert, it could become between 100 and 140 degrees Fahrenheit, which is approximately 35 to even 60 degrees Celsius. But at night, the temperature would drop severely to freezing. So, a dramatic difference. Imagine those 2 million people under those circumstances, how to survive? Only by God's grace and mercy, because by day, this pillar would become a kind of blanket over the people, and it sheltered them, it protected them against the sun. Do you remember how warm days could be last summer? In some regions of the Netherlands, even up to 38 degrees. And, yeah, you can be so happy then if you find a nice piece of shadow somewhere, or just stay inside. But Israel had these circumstances for 40 years. God tempered the heat. And by night, God tempered the cold, the coldness. The fire would spread the warmth that the people so dearly needed at night. Like Psalm 91 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress." But thirdly, this pillar would also provide communion. Communion. God has said in Joshua, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, there were times when God spoke himself out of this pillar. It was a talking pillar. It was a way to hear the voice of God, what the Lord wanted them to know. In Exodus 33, after the sin of the golden calf, God spoke out of that pillar. So this fiery, cloudy pillar was not an inanimate object people looked at and that would give them a bit of hope. No, it was a living object. The Lord himself was in it. The voice of a friend, the voice of a counselor, instructing and comforting. How much can that mean for us under difficult circumstances, being able to hear someone's voice, someone to join you? Now that would be the effect of that voice. It would also warn the people. It would also remind them of the need to be obedient. But it would also promise and would also bless and give new perspectives. There was communion in the cloud. God was there. Is it remarkable that all these benefits were there by day and by night? It would have been very comforting already if this phenomenon would appear like once every 3 weeks or so. But it was there by day and by night. The sun would not smite them by day, nor the moon by night. And maybe we have once felt lonely at night, a bit defenseless. And if the Israelites would feel that way, they just could go outside the tent and get warmed up by that torch of fire that would not stop meeting their needs. Before I close down, I have one more question. Because how can we profit from this story? In what way can it be helpful today for you, for me personally? We could ask this question: What is this pillar today? What provides us to lead us out of sin and to lead us toward a heavenly future? Don't we ever sometimes think, like, if only I had such phenomenon in my life that would favor me in so many ways this year, it would be so much easier for me to stay strong in faith. So we could ask ourselves, how is God my defense and my guide and my communion? Now, of course, in a sense, it's the Bible. God speaks through it, and we are never without it. We can always open our Bible. But most of all, in the New Testament, Christ himself is the guide of his people. If you go to this slide, we see that this pillar today is Jesus Christ, who is firstly our guide. How can we know that? Well, Hebrews chapter 2 says, Jesus Christ is the captain of our faith. He is our guide by day and night. He also chooses the path for us to go. He says, I am the way. And also he says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He and she who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, even in the darkness. And secondly, Christ himself is our defense. How can he be my defense? He is my defense because he has said, my sheep hear my voice. I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. So our lives is in his hand. And also thirdly, Christ is our companion. Christ has said, you should know that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I will be with you always. I will send my Holy Spirit. And even though Christ himself is in heaven, one of the old catechisms of the 16th century says, Christ is at no time absent from his people. He is at no time absent from his people. Isn't that beautiful? Respect to his majesty and so forth, he is at no time absent. Yes, he uses his word, he uses his spirit, but he himself is this cloudy and fiery pillar for us. I hope he's that for you as well. Maybe we do not always experience it so strongly. We may believe that he goes before me and he guides me through this desert land of 2019. He will guide me. Christ, who once became like the radiant sun on the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ, who was taken up in heaven by a cloud. He will lead me and he will be my guide. Down through the valleys and over high hills. This is our Jesus. Amen. Shall we have a short prayer?